Hello, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I want every part of my life to honor the Holy Spirit and honor the knowledge He's given me over the years. I don't want any part of my life to be in disagreement with the Holy Spirit. When I ask the Lord things, when I decide I'm going to learn something, for instance, I have a problem. I don't know. I have no clue about how to solve it. But I just decide I'm going to learn this. I'm going to find out. And I seek till I find. And I ask the Lord to help me on my quest. Some things I ask the Holy Spirit about. And I seek Him. I don't let it go. It don't always happen in one day. Just like yesterday's broadcast, I touched on how I was clued in that I could live in His presence wherever I am. I got that from Him. But to me, I sensed it. I sensed that it was possible while I was in the presence of the Lord back in the prayer room that day. Now, this was way back in the early 80s. And I went to Refuge Temple from November 83 till the church split in 1988. So I spent a lot of years there, but one day, one of those years was when that happened. And nevertheless, I didn't let go of what I sensed from the Lord, but I didn't know how to produce it. And you don't have to know things. You just have to ask and believe. And just because some things take time, but be patient. Patient is, I said, Lord, what is patience? He said, patience is a waiting faith. It gives your faith the ability to wait. It sustains it. Now, since I brought that up, let me go ahead and do this. I was helping Vern. Vern is a real electrician. He's a certified electrician. And we were running wire in electric wire in the upstairs in the youth, where the youth rock, where the youth would be on Wednesday night. And so I was helping them stream the wire and everything. And the Lord gave me an analogy about faith. I love God. I thank Him for all these, the way He shows us things. Now this is an AC circuit. That's what we were working on. Same thing for DC. This circuit will work both ways. But your heart is like the battery. The Word of God charges it. When you speak faith, your faith is on. Your tongue is the on switch. All right, with DC, you have a heart and a ground. So I'm more used to DC. When you speak the word, patience, peace is the hot wire. The work is the motor or the light. And then patience is the ground wire. And your doubt is the off switch. Your tongue is the on switch. Peace is the hot wire. The motor, that's the work you do. You know, faith without works is dead. When you speak something, and you act on it, the whole thing's alive. And then patience is the ground wire. And all you have to do is don't doubt, and the whole thing's live and it's working. Now, sometimes when you ask the Lord a question, you have the answer because He's already in process. Heaven went to work on your case. You know, if you had a problem with your printer, you know, like I do. I couldn't get it to link to my phone. So they gave me a case number. So when I call and talk to somebody, they'll pull up the case number. Well, when you say something by faith and you believe God, like I did that day, heaven was already working on my situation. The Lord was already putting together a roadmap for me to learn everything that I would need to learn. I didn't know how much time it was going to take, but my goal was to live in his presence wherever I go. And I'm using this for a prime example, because this is one of the best. It took a while. I stayed after the Lord about it too, along with other things. But he taught me things that he in order to get to that point, I had to learn other things. So if God can shower me with his presence at will. He can do that whenever he wants to. And make me aware that he's with me and I have his strength to operate in. But if he had done that and I didn't know the word, I would have depended on him doing that all the time. Whenever it was wise for him to embrace me in his presence, he would do it. But the just shall live by his faith, not by the awareness of the presence of God, but by his faith. So I had to fill my heart with the word, and the word has to be that you fill your heart with has to be, it can't be a wrong interpretation. That won't work. The Holy Spirit can't use a lie. He has to use the truth. He's the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit can only operate with a true interpretation of his word. Now, we used to call that rightly dividing the word. That was a book called Rightly Dividing. That's where we got it from. But actually, it's a true. You can only build your life on true interpretations of the word. And the word interprets itself. So when the Lord changed my course in he gave me an assignment that got me to read chapters in October of 1990. Now, before that, I didn't know about that. I just studied the scriptures that to get me out of my problems or to satisfy my curiosity, or, you know, sometimes I would read a book if I was just at home studying the word. But I didn't do that often. I studied scriptures to prove points when I minister. Nevertheless, when I started studying chapters instead of scriptures, not scriptures. When I started studying chapters, the scope of my understanding was broadened, and I saw the word in a more true form. And the Holy Spirit helped me put the puzzles together and undo the doctrines and the things that were not right. And it took a while. So there's no substitute from living by the word. If you were somewhere where there was no word, the Lord would make the difference another way. But that, like they did, and, you know, Pastor Jim talks about, Pastor Jim the Fourth, he talks about how in the days of the apostles, they didn't have scriptures. They had the Old Testament, and mostly rich people had that. Rich Jews had it. But Gentiles didn't have. They had to listen and remember what Paul said and what others said. And they had to write those words in their heart. They had the letters. That was their scripture. And they would study it. And they would act on it. And that helped them springboard their relationship with the Lord. From there, the Holy Spirit could guide them. What I want to share is this. This is where I'm going. We have many abilities that are lying dormant. And these are the last days when we need to be implementing them. Now, continuing. When you seek the Lord about something, he taught me about authority. And then, because authority was a necessary element, just like the word. He taught me the ministry of the Holy Spirit. To continually ask the Lord questions and solve my doubts, misunderstandings. And this took a while. I kept paying attention and the Lord trained me. It took from 1990, along with what I learned before that. 1990 was a turning point. I started dialoguing with the Lord and living in his presence. And that was the year that I really started embracing the presence of the Lord wherever I go. I never felt alone. I didn't feel it. I had peace from 1983. But now, after January or February of 1990, I knew the Lord was with me all the while. And I had already been through the temptation storm. That was my wilderness year in 87 to 88. I was just like when Jesus went to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It started at the fall of 87, and I got the victory over it in 88. Now, I never failed, but I was tormented with temptation and the fear of it for all that time. And I would battle, and I fought. But I didn't in those days, I didn't study chapters. I only studied scriptures. I only studied scriptures. And the Holy Spirit was guiding me with what I had. And most people, even to this day, they study most people still study scriptures, not chapters, and they don't study that much. And I don't like that. I don't like saying that for people. I can tell. It's obvious. But when people study chapters like that, they start. Anytime you draw near to the Lord, the Lord will draw near to you. And after 3 months of studying 15 chapters a day, now I had a word base. So when I worship God and go in His presence, I didn't just collapse like I used to. I could stand up and ask questions. The word gave me stamina, just like when Daniel, when the angel appeared to Daniel to answer his questions, he kept collapsing. He said, "How can I talk to you, my Lord? How can I talk?" And he collapsed, and the angel picked him up, and he collapsed again. And then the one that looked like a human, a man, touched him, and he could dialogue. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I had a word base, and I had received enough truth so the Holy Spirit could talk to me, and I wouldn't get in pride about it. I learned not to boast about what God was teaching me. I was excited, and I would share it sometimes. And sometimes people would get offended because they didn't expect that. They didn't see it coming at my age. And that, I'm going to talk about that later. But nevertheless, the Lord trained me in those years. And I kept growing. And I was in His presence, and I knew it. No matter, and I still had problems, I still had to work, and I still had difficulties, but the temptation part was gone. I was living the dream. I had what I asked for. I could see women and not be bothered by them, and the ones that were even. Most of my customers were women, and sometimes they would still try to tempt you, but I had authority over it, and I wasn't. I gave the analogy. I said, "Lord, I want the temptations that Satan's trying to put on me to be like my desire for cigarettes. I have no desire for cigarettes. I can't be tempted with a cigarette." I said, "Now I don't know how to do it, but that's what I'm praying for." So when women would act that way, it didn't bother me. They were like cigarettes. I have no desire to smoke, and I was fine. That's a good way to explain it. The temptation was gone. It was dead. And I asked the Lord to kill it. I said, "I want to kill the problem. I don't want to live like I've seen others live." Now, they didn't fall, but they had the temptations would aggravate, and nobody talks about it because it's terribly embarrassing. But I want people to know, no matter what's going on in your life, if you're coming off drugs, alcohol, if you're addicted to sex itself, God has a solution. It's in the blood. It's in the love of God. The word of God will help you. If you fill your heart with the word of God, you'll have the power to stand. You'll have the might from the Holy Spirit. The spirit of might. God is not sorry. He's mighty. He's very mighty. And I wanted that might to be on me. Now, I had to learn chapters of information to get to that point. But I didn't care what I had. I wanted what I wanted. I wanted to live in God's presence. And God will give you what you want. If you can think it, or, you know, if you can imagine it, God can do it. He can do more than what you think and what you can come up with. And sometimes I ask him for things that only he can come up with. That's why I say I would do all this in his heart, because I know that if I keep doing that, he's going to prepare me for something and lengthen or strengthen my life, whatever need to happen for me to do it. And it'll be legal, you know. And we need to do this. Whatever we're going to do for God, we need to have it done before he take us out off earth. Now, abilities. We have amazing abilities. When I learned the aspects of living in his peace, that was another element. He gave me a song one time, Keep On Resting. I learned about the rest. And I started practicing what I was learning from the Holy Spirit. You can rest in a storm. You can rest in difficulty. You can rest when others around you are not at rest. You can strengthen those that are weak. Jesus told Peter, Satan's going to try to sift your mind as wheat, but when you're strengthened, strengthen your brothers. And he did. So when people around you are having a cloudy day, you can give them your strength. You can pray for them. You can turn Satan. I've done this so many times. You can turn Satan's activities off. You can tell if you see somebody struggling and having a bad day, you can say, Satan, leave him alone. In Jesus' name, and he will stop his activity. And you can pray strength. And I got this from Kenneth Hagin. You can surround them with love and with faith. I do that continually over my children. And I tell them to do it. I tell them what I do. Because I made it. I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus because my parents prayed for me when I did not have a mind to be a Christian. And there were times when I was an adolescent, I tried to get in trouble and couldn't do it. Something would always happen and I couldn't do what my friends was doing. Now, we expect our children to receive salvation, do everything Jesus said, and we know they're not studying the word, and they're going to school, and people are doing any and everything, and they put pressure on you to do what they're doing and try this and try that, and this is in, that's out, and you're just old fashioned. They have all this to deal with, and it's much worse than what it was when we were in school. And when I was in school, it was bad enough. If I talked about the conversations that we had in elementary school, it was rated R, sometimes X. And that's terrible. But now they got YouTube, they got Facebook, they have access to all forms of pornography, and don't think that they won't use it. The enemy is trying to suck many people down to hell, and all those things, everything of Satan. Satan has no rules. You do what you want to do, but when you play with him, when you operate according to the world, it will suck the life out of you. If you had the word in you and you start gazing into the darkness of the abyss of the world, it will siphon the word out of your heart until you're a captive. And when preachers start fooling with pornography and things like that, they get trapped and they can't stop. That's when they need deliverance. And I remember James Robinson's testimony. A man prayed for him in his hotel room. He couldn't stop. He started something, and he had no way to stop. He could not stop. And the man prayed for him until I listened to his tape over and over again, and he got delivered from that demon of adultery. And everybody need to hear these kind of testimonies. And I strongly recommend the Ugandan pastor. That was very eye-opening to me. You know, it's still on YouTube, and listen to it before they take it off. Nevertheless, we have glorious abilities in Christ. And I found I got started by, I had a good pastor. He was a teaching pastor. And if you have a good teaching pastor, use the good teaching pastor to grow. But all good pastors teach you to go in God's presence and hear his word and do it. And that way you'll grow beyond. As a man of God, I want you to grow far beyond what I'm capable of teaching. And that will happen if you go in God's presence, use what I'm doing or saying to do it. And go in his presence and learn him. Get to know him one-on-one. Keep listening to things like this, because the things it took me years to learn, I can talk about it in a few moments. It took me a long time to get these points. I mean, a year, sometimes a decade, to learn what I'm talking about. And you can learn it in a few minutes. You can read about Apostle Paul's whole life in about 2 hours or three. If you've studied the book of Acts, and I used to listen to the New Testament. If you start in Matthew, it'll take a while. But if you start in the book of Acts, before I could finish a shift, I'd be in Revelations. And it didn't take long, because the books are not that long. The Old Testament, however, I can listen to Isaiah probably twice in a day. Maybe one and a half. I can listen to Isaiah one time and then a half a time before my shift's over. Nevertheless, what I'm saying is this. When you take in that kind of word and then couple it with prayer and praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, praying in the Holy Spirit makes you aware. And that's another thing I learned. Pray in the Holy Spirit often. That's when you learn more from God. Because your heart will cry out for the needs you have, the greatest needs you have, and the Holy Spirit will minister them to you. And this is what we need to be doing. Not as a labor, but as a way of life. Don't focus on what you got to do for God. Focus on him. Do it in his strength. And then a lot of people feel like, well, if I apply myself, nobody's going to give me a chance to preach. And you're right, they're not. You can forget that. It could happen, but it probably won't. But God can still use you in other ways. See, you don't have to be at a church and preach to people to be effective in God's house. Church is where that's where people go to get fed the word and get corrected. You may not get to preach there, but your life is a testimony all by itself. The way you live, what you're capable. See, you go somewhere. You can take the message you heard from your pastor and share it with people that you work with. The people that your audience. Every day you're around people. And that's where the gospel need to be. The people at church have heard all these things. They don't really need. I mean, if you teach them, it can be exciting. But that don't mean that they'll do it. Most people will only do what they hear their pastor do. and all you're doing when you're assisting, and it can help, and it's wonderful. But this is not just to learn so that you can share it on a platform. These things are a way of life. The way you conduct yourself grows. And then the assignments that God give you. He may give you much information and have you to write a book, because he knows people that will read the book. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except for in his own hometown and in his own family. So if God give you a book, if your family members or even your church members and your friends, if they read it, it's a wheelchair miracle. They might buy it, but they're not going to read it. And I'm not trying to be doubtful. I'm just telling you what. These are the kind of things I run into and heard so many other people talk about. Nevertheless, if they read, now some people are different. Some people are humble. Some people, they don't, you have people that, my pastor started a church in his own hometown, and it's a wonderful church. It's a loving church. So with God, anything's possible. But if your family members, friends, and church members read the book you wrote, it's a weird, if people don't have read the Word of God, why do you think they'll read your book? If they know you. If they don't know you, then they'll read it. it's crazy, but that's how it is. I'm sorry, I didn't make it that way. I just found out about it. I don't even like saying stuff like that, but these are problems that need to be, that only the Holy Spirit can solve through willing people. Now, but the Lord know people that will take that same knowledge that he gave you and do something with it. Now, if the people you know and love read your book and then do something with it and grow by it, now that's like that's better than a wheelchair miracle. That's like receiving a limb or an eye that was missing. That's a real supernatural miracle. Now, we have the abilities to do all these things. Raising the dead, healing the sick, breaking yokes. The knowledge, a lot of people wouldn't believe that a man can be totally free from women, like what God taught me. I asked for this, and he gave it to me. It's a big deal, and I know how it works because he dealt my. But the thing is this: everybody's varied and different. The Holy Spirit will have to give it to you according to how you understand and see things, and it can be different, or even it can be similar, different, or altogether different than what he taught me, but it's still biblical. He'll show you other. There are aspects that I probably need to know, but I have strengths in one area, weaknesses in another. The things that made me get on track so I could track with God and not be offended at what I saw, he gave me what I was lacking. He taught me to love the people. And then don't fear falling. Now those were the two greatest things he taught me, along with what I found in the scripture. The long version is a lot more to it than that. That's the short version. Other people may have those two strengths, but something else is lacking. That's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is the one that gets you to your greater abilities so that you can walk in his, so that you can do what Jesus did. Every Christian we have the abilities to stop storms. We have the ability, the weapons of our warfare are mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't have to let rogue government stay in power. But so many people are lukewarm Christians, half-hearted, won't study the word. They vote these jokers right back in the office. But you still have authority over Satan and all of his power. And Christians need to know what they can do. They can stop wars. They can stop wars from starting. This is how I live. The Lord brought something to me that the enemy wanted, the wars of Henry Gruber, his visions were about to happen. This was about a year and a half ago. And he gave me two dreams that night. And after I had the dream, I said, "Lord, what is this about?" He said, "It's at the door." And it took me about 3 days before I started taking authority over it. I didn't know what he wanted me to. I figured it. I said, he brought that to me for a reason, not just for me to know. And I thought back to a message he gave me a long time ago. Don't let the devil have nothing. And I said, that's it. I said, "Satan, you can't start that war." See, when God brings something to you, you have the ability to stop the problem. You're the point man. Now, I preached it so others could do it too, but you can't really trust what other people will or will not do. Some people will say this, note it as good information, or wonder whether it's of God or not. But when God brings something to you, you got to have faith in what needs to happen. Have faith in God about the situation as if nobody else is praying but you. Now, you may say, "Well, I don't know if I can believe God for that." It doesn't matter. If you begin with what you have If you can begin with what you have, the gift, God can give you the gift of faith. As long as your faith is on, He'll give you the faith you need to stop the problem. You have an understand authority. And you stood, you did all you could do, God will do the rest. So we can pull down strongholds anyway. And sometimes He'll use people that's not emotionally attached. And he caught me at a time that I had been studying these things, it was just the right season. You know, God had prepared me for that. In other words, there are no limits in His house. You have to take Him at His word. And if you do, it's going to be wonderful. And people don't always understand what, you know, and this is something I'll close with this part. The Lord recently showed me that people don't follow Him to that level because of the way they've been trained and taught. Whatever you learn from seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and it don't look bad, it looks good. Everybody else is doing it. So it's hard for people to make adjustments without, when they hear it, it should alert them to seek the Lord about it and see if it's true, like the Bereans did. But some people are convinced that whatever they believe is working, if your life is not working, if things are not going forward, something is wrong.